Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way.
We didn't just dress up like Todd and Margo to get your attention and to show off our awesome physiques, but because these suits do not do that. But I mean, when we think about it, they're the neighbors, right? They get swept up into all of this, right? The Griswolds are there doing their thing, but. But Margo, did you want any of those lights shining so bright that you couldn't see? Okay. Did you want any of the noise? Were you really excited, like all of our Hickory Ridge neighbors, to see that RV pull up?
Not at all.
yeah. Like really, like they just wanted their peace and their quiet and their beige living room. Like that's all the Todd and Margo and their non-wet rugs, right? But Clark, he flips that switch and changes everything. Suddenly they're blinded, right? Like suddenly they're irritated and annoyed, right? But whether they like it or not, there's a light that's shining bright. And they can't ignore it. Can we give Margo a round of applause? She said, hurry up and get me out of this costume, Billy. I can't believe you did this. And she also has to lead the last worship song and figured that you guys couldn't get in the mood of worshiping Jesus staring at a silver workout partner. I had to choose my words closely there. But really, Todd and Margo, like, that's not what they signed up for. They didn't sign up for a Griswold Christmas. But Luke chapter 2, we see about the shepherds. And you heard a little bit in that video, but I want to zoom in on them for just a moment. And because they were the first ones. They were the first upon the scene, but the angels were the first ones to go to them. Now, we know a little bit about shepherds, right? Just from reading through Scripture, we see, whether you went and saw the movie about the story of David that's in theaters right now, or maybe you've cracked open a Bible once or twice, and you see about David, right? The youngest of all the brothers, the overlooked of all the brothers, the one that isn't tall, dark, and handsome, the one that had nothing else better to do but take care of the sheep. We also know that even the shepherds are the ones that they really can't hold down any of the other jobs, right? They don't get to go to the rabbinical school like the others in the villages. They're the ones that also are typically the outcast. Those that have done some time, those that have committed the crime, those with the background and the records. They're the ones that get ostracized and pushed out of town, and that's all they have left to do. See, when we look at that and those shepherds, I believe we probably see some of us. Some of us that were once lost, right, but now found. Once that God saved a wretch like us. Once a part of that 67% that we're all about here as Innovation Church. So we relate really well to their story. That we're not perfect. We're rough around the edges. We don't have it all together now or probably next week. Maybe not even next year. But Luke chapter 2 says that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. You guys weren't that sudden on your suddenly. Okay. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. See, notice that God got their attention. He didn't come in a whisper that time. He didn't just send a memo or a messenger. He didn't even wait for a Sunday morning to show up and to meet the shepherds. He lit up the night sky. And the angels said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. See, that there shows us that the Christmas message just wasn't for the shepherds, that it's a message for all people. But first, just like Jesus came to the disciples, the fishermen, those that didn't have it all together, those that were considered uneducated, it came to the shepherds first. It was meant to be seen, right? Christmas was meant to be seen. But the thing is, the shepherds didn't stay quiet about it either. Once they went and saw, we sing the song, Go Tell It on the Mountains, but that was their command to leave and to go and to let people know. They didn't say, oh, well, that was nice. That was a cute little baby boy. That was a bright star. But the Bible says that they ran and told everyone of what they had seen. Kind of sounds like Jesus, even in Matthew 5, where he says, you are the light of the world. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Not just your words, but Jesus took it even a step further, as he always did, right? It says, your good deeds. In other words, we don't just have the light, right? Or as maybe some of your kids have learned, and maybe you remember from quite a few years ago, for some of you, that this little light of mine isn't supposed to be hiding under a bushel, right? I still remember the kids when I was leading in children's church way back a few years ago, before this church, and had a little girl that hide it under a bushel. No, she didn't hear those lyrics. Her lyrics meant a lot more when she said them. And I was like, yeah, that's true too. Because instead of a bushel, because she had never heard what a bushel was, it was hide it under a bush. Hell no. I'm going to let it shine. And I hope we leave with that same tenacity today. Hide it under a bush? Hide it in these walls? Hell no. I'm going to let it shine. I don't know if we've got to edit that out of the podcast or not. But I don't think so. This is innovation. See, the fact is, we don't just have the light. We're meant to shine the light for all to see. And that's for everybody in the room. You don't have to have a sermon. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have your act all together. You don't even need to have all the answers to every question about Revelation. I don't even have those. But I'll read it with you, and we'll search after God together. Can we just be willing to do that with those that have questions? Let them search, and you search with them. Walk that journey alongside of them. Speaking of journeys, not the song. I really wanted to bust out and go into a journey song there, but that's where my mind went. Tonight, we know we had the kids play today, but today is also December 21st, which is known as the longest time of darkness each and every year happens on December 21st. I'm so excited that it landed on a Sunday. Because people need someone to come alongside and walk with them in that journey. And that's why tonight we do a blue Christmas service at 6 p.m. for those that are walking through grief. You probably know them. If you are them, I would definitely invite you to be here. But if you know them, they're the people that might seem a little more Eeyore-ish this time of year. Because they're walking through a journey, and some of them are stuck and don't know how to get past that. Tonight, we get to talk about that very thing. And I'm actually even going to throw up a graphic this afternoon for somebody to win a moose mug about Clark's father, because there's one small line about Clark's dad that I believe relates very well with tonight's message. But this light that everybody's supposed to see, right? This light that Todd and Margo need to see. Maybe for you it's not Todd and Margo because you moved out in the country to try to get away from people. But maybe it's at Payless or at Walmart. We all know people that need Jesus at Walmart. Just walk into Walmart, you'll find one. Maybe it's somebody that you work with, right? Somebody that's on the line next to you. Somebody at Evonik or Alcoa or Tate & Lyle or God forbid, Subaru, right? Probably has at least one person that needs Jesus. Maybe it's at Purdue or maybe it's at IU. Like we all know some people that will probably never even open their Bible. But the only Bible they're going to be able to read is you. Each and every day. Some people aren't going to come to church on their own. They might come with you, hopefully not in your trunk. I'm not like 100% against that, but like a good high percentage, like please don't kidnap people. Just buy them dinner and have a good time. There's a lot of people that don't need another argument or the Bible says this. Maybe they just need an invitation to a place that's talking about their favorite movie. See, you might be the only Christian in your family this Christmas, the only believer that's on your team. You might be the only light that's on in your neighborhood. Do you understand that God placed you there on purpose? No matter how much you hate that job, for such a time as this, you're not working there for them. You're working there for the glory of God. So what if you walked in and you're the pastor of that factory? And you're the chaplain of that Target? What if we looked at that mindset that, hell no, I'm going to let it shine wherever I go, right? God placed us here on purpose, and just like the shepherds and just like those neighbors, the neighbors couldn't ignore the glow. Todd and Margo, no matter what they did, they couldn't get away from those bright lights. Now, maybe that was a lot. And maybe you're a lot too, right? Maybe today is a reflection of what you're doing to the Todd and Margos around you. Maybe it's just by acts of love, acts of kindness. Maybe it's that invite to walk towards the light and not the spotlight. I don't know if you've ever seen them. I so wanted to, but I could hear the wife voice in my head. You know those like million watt spotlights? I so wanted to shine on the day, but there's that warning on the top that says, will cause blindness. And I knew that Mandy and Susie were definitely not on with that illustration here this morning. And then probably one of our kids would probably chase somebody else around after the service. So I figured that was a bad idea. Today, I'm here to remind you also of Christmas Adam. It's said that 88% of the people that are invited to attend holiday services, which is usually Christmas and Easter, right? The Super Bowl services of the church, right? That they'll actually show up, especially if you're going to go with them, right? Hey, I'm going to this Christmas Adam service at 5 o'clock, right? There's still a few flyers out there. I'm glad most of them have gotten taken and hopefully handed out. But maybe it's, I'm going to be at the 6 o'clock. Would you join me? Hey, you want to meet me at the bar on Tuesday? Yeah, the hot cocoa bar. Right? It's going to be off the chain. Hot cocoa bar, Christmas cookies. A great time. Now I told the first service that I wasn't like trying to bribe them, but I was trying to bribe them. And it is a first come, first serve basis. We are running out, but many of you, your first time here, you grabbed that Connect card and you filled out that Connect card and you said, I want to get connected. I want to know what's happening. You did your name, your address, your email, your text messages. And some of you are like, why did I put my phone number? Because I get a lot of text messages. Because we want you to know what's going on, right? But on that very bottom line, it says, who invited you? You know, this Christmas Adam, we're trying three services, a lot like today, right? We're trying three services back to back to back, 45 minutes with 15 minutes in between. Three services back to back to back. We're going crazy. We're all drinking excess energy drinks and going at it, right? And so we want to have a good time, but we saw that last year's services were about 70% full doing two Christmas Adam services. And we were like, we have more people now. And they have more family members. They have more friends. They have more coworkers that need to hear about this message, do you not? And so we said, let's add a third one, a 5, a 6, and a 7 p.m. Like, get all the hot cocoa in Lafayette. Get all the Christmas cookies, and let's have a great time. And you know why we do a Christmas Adam service? One, because Adam came before Eve. And I'm just saying. Like, no, but really, the heart behind it is because we saw ourselves reaching a lot of divorced families. And they were going to mom's house or dad's house on Christmas Eve, and then the opposite on Christmas Day. And we said, that family still needs a tradition that's focused on the true reason for the season. When they're being pulled back and forth and forced into this, can we give them, right? Can we give them a tradition, as well as it's a great opportunity for our volunteers to still be able to spend time with their own families on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day. And so we don't treat the holidays as let's jam-pack everything that we can into it. We say, what's a rhythm that makes sense? What's a rhythm that speaks the language of our culture that we can reach them right where they are? And what's one that can get their attention? What's a Christmas Adam service? Huh, makes them start to think. We love to make people think around here. And so December 23rd, which is Tuesday, not Monday. Sorry, I sent that email on about 4 hours of sleep this week. But it's one of the easiest invites of the year, because who doesn't love singing Christmas carols? Sorry, there's not going to be any candles, because I don't trust you, Troy, with candles. You're going to use them as drumsticks. You're going to light the chairs on fire. I'm just not there yet. So it's a short 45-minute service about hope and about light, and it's not a repeat of Sunday morning. We don't repeat our services around here unless they're back-to-back. And so here's your challenge. Who's that neighbor? Who's that Todd in their sweatsuit, right? Who's that stinky guy that works out to you next to you in the gym, right? That might need Jesus. You're going to see him again at the gym on Monday. You may see him on Christmas Adam morning. Bring him a cookie, right? Or invite him to the bar, whatever. Like, invite those coworkers. Invite those friends, those family members, and even those enemies. Because what happens when your enemy finds Jesus? Right? Because even enemies deserve a moose mug, right? Hopefully you don't see it as a bribe. Hopefully you see it as Christmas generosity. Hopefully you see it as a church that wants to do everything that they can possible to reach you, to reach your loved ones, to reach your coworkers, to reach the 67%. And if that means we need to order more moose mugs, then we'll order more moose mugs. See, Todd and Margot, they didn't want all those Christmas lights, but Clark did it anyways. Maybe don't take his approach. Don't wear the hockey mask and start up your... Like, that may not be the right way to invite somebody to church, but maybe you do have that neighbor that a hockey mask and a chainsaw would drive them to church. Like, or would scare the hell out of them. I don't know. But the shepherds, they didn't expect the announcement either, but it changed everything. They didn't expect an invite. They were the outcasts. They were out in the fields. They were the ones that were relegated to just taking care of sheep. But God showed up to them. How much did that mean to them? Maybe the same as the person that invited you to come here. Or maybe the family member or the coworker or the neighbor that you invite for the 5 or the 6 or the 7 o'clock service right here on Christmas Adam. See, the fact is, your neighbors, your coworkers, they're probably trying to get that perfect Christmas, just like all of us. But we don't need a perfect Christmas. What we need is a perfect Savior. What we need is to always reflect on the true reason for the season. And we love to do that with a little flair and a little passion around here. And so I hope to see you guys show up. I hope to see you shining. I hope to see your pictures of the little faces. it was fun praying over even just what God wants to do here in this place over the next few days as we got together for prayer. And we prayed over even those faces, the faces that are going to represent and jump into the plywood cutout out there. And right now they're empty. But maybe you know somebody that would make a good Clark. Maybe you know somebody that already makes a good Cousin Eddie. And that's the person. Maybe you walk by that and look at that board and say, okay, who's the Ellen that needs to be here? Who's the Ellen that their husband's crazy and they're smoking like a chimney? Right? Like, who's the person that needs to see a perfect Savior today? So let's shine. Let's not hide under the bush. Hell no. Let's shine. Let's invite. Let's show up, because quite honestly, in a world that we live in today, right here may not be the first place that they see Jesus. You may be that person that they see Jesus in and see Jesus through. After a while, I started to track. I honestly started to track. I had a little notepad that I'd carry around with me at work. And I'd write people's names that I would invite to church, that I would start to pray for. It was while the kind of overlap of planting the church and starting the church and starting services. And I had names, and I'd pray over them. I'd pray over their situations. And then every time I would invite them, on average, it took about 9 invites. 9 invites. Some people were harder at 15. Some people, it was like 2. Some people, it was about the relationship that I actually established with them, that I actually prayed for them when I said I would pray for them, that it wasn't just like a Christian lingo thing, like, get out of my way. Yeah, sure, I'll pray for you. But then I'd follow up with, how's that dad doing? How's that situation? How can I help? And so, maybe, I know some of you are like, man, I've been inviting them. I've been telling them about Jesus, right? It's okay. You may be on invite number 4. You may be on invite number 44. Keep speaking Jesus. Keep shining a light for all to see. Todd and Margo, they didn't want it, but they were affected by it. Hopefully we can have a little bit better of an effect than what Todd and Margo saw. This Christmas, can we make sure and speak Jesus? Because yeah, they may not be here this Christmas, Adam, with you. May the odds ever be in your favor. But they may remember it next year. Right? This may be the first invite, and they should actually show up next year. Everywhere we go, especially this week, let's do everything we can to speak Jesus. What if we change our Facebook post to not be about, oh, this stupid crowded parking lot, I can't find a parking spot. Oh, they messed up my Starbucks order. Oh my gosh, my lights aren't working. Oh my gosh, I gotta see Aunt Shirley. You're gonna have all those posts that you wanna post. What if somebody sees Jesus through your post this week? What are we pointing them to? Let's not hide it under a bushel. Let's shine it bright for all the world to see.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip, hip, hooray for Christmas vacation.